heaven to speak to us. The Lord, help each one of our hearts, Lord, to be receptive to what we hear. That we would not just listen, Lord, but that we would apply it and try and live it in our lives. Thank you, Father, so much for this opportunity. And I pray, Father, each one here could be blessed. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Do what? Need a stick?
No.
I appreciate that.
Well, amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
I was going to preach the Word of God from A to Z, but I can't do that now. Amen. And talked about how many years we've been coming while I was young. And now I am old. When I first started coming here, I had black hair. Amen. Praise the Lord. A black mustache. All right. Well, praise God for that. We're here for something, right? We're here for revival. Amen. God is good to us, and I'm so glad you're here. Matthew chapter 1, if you will. Matthew chapter 1. Look down here, if you will, in verse 21. It says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." Look down in verse 25 now. And this is talking about Joseph knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for loving us, caring for us, providing for us. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the great folks that are here. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us just right now. Help us to be attentive to the Word of God. Help us to open our hearts to the truth from the Word of God. Help us, Lord, just to fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Draw us close to you right now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Some years ago, I met a fella that listened to me preach. And afterwards, he says, "Oh, all you do is talk about Jesus. Jesus. You know that's not his name." I said, "Really?" He says, "Yeah, his name is not Jesus." And he kind of used that tone with the name. His name is actually Christ. And you need to emphasize Christ. And so I didn't argue with him, which was unusual because I must have been in the right mood or the wrong mood. I don't know. I didn't argue with him. I let him have his way. That fella doesn't go to church anymore. He's sitting home every Sunday. And I believe it's because he doesn't understand who Jesus is. And he doesn't even know his name. My Bible tells me that this is directly from God the Father. And they were obedient to call this child that came into the world Jesus. Because God the Father wanted him named Jesus. Lila Long wrote this: "Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name, and that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know."
Yeah.
Listen, there's no other name like the name Jesus. Now I want to preach a quick message. I'm not going to preach long. We'll be out of here by 2. This is a very simplistic message. You know all of this. But I told Brother Dave last night, I said, I've really been convicted about this. You know, we preach on sin, and there's nothing wrong with preaching on sin. We ought to. I mean, we live in a sinful generation. And this is one of the most wicked generations of all time. And folks, I want you to understand something. We need to point out sin, and we need to call sin sin. It's not an addiction, it's sin. You know, alcoholism, it's an addiction rather than sin. No, it's sin. And I'm addicted to this and that. Well, it's sin. If you had never taken that first drink, if you'd never smoked that first cigarette, if you'd never went to that first porno site, I want to tell you something. You would never have been addicted in the first place. It's sin. It was sin the first time you did it. It's a sin the thousandth time you've done it. It was sin. I'm preaching another message right now. But the fact of the matter is this, that we've got away from the message that really means something, and that's the message of Jesus Christ. If we bring people close to Christ and they see the holiness of Jesus Christ, they understand how wicked and vile they really are. If we see the majesty of Christ and we see how important and beautiful He is, we'll understand how wicked we are. The closer I get to the Lord, the more I understand how dark my heart is. Listen, the closer I get to His holiness, I understand how unholy I am. And how much I need Him. Listen, we need to be brought close to the Lord Jesus Christ. As that woman who had gone to all the physicians and found out that the physicians couldn't help her, and she actually got worse rather than better. And all she had to do was get down on her knees and touch the hem of His garment. Get close to Jesus. All we need to do is just touch the hem of His garment. If we could just be like Mary. You know, too many Marthas around. We want to cook and we want to clean and we want to do all the things. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with what Martha was doing. Oh, Mary chose that part that was needful, where she got down at the feet of Jesus to learn and to glean from Him. That's what we need. I want to take the word name, N-A-M-E, and I've got it spelled right. I've checked it several times. And I'm going to make an acrostic out of it. We'll preach quick. You listen quick. And we'll be going to... Are we going to Chinese today?
I'm in favor of that.
Are you in favor of that? All in favor? All right. We have done the Baptist thing. We've had a business meeting. Amen? So, no. You know what? I don't know what it is about Baptists, but we have to have business meetings. You ever notice that? Every Baptist church. I'm really an interim pastor. I've been there for 6 years now, but I'm an interim pastor at this church in Vinton, Iowa. And they wanted to have a business meeting every month. I said, hey, let's do something different. Let's not have a business meeting every month. We talk about the same stuff. Every month. Why don't we just have one a year? And you know what? They said, okay. And they like it. Yeah. They don't like business meetings. They hated them as much as I did. But, okay, that's another message too. The N in name. There's none other name like the name of Jesus. None other. Acts chapter 4. Look, if you will, in Acts chapter 4. I'll get to the message here. I really will. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's none other. There's no other name. The name of Allah is not Jesus. The name of Muhammad, the Confucius, Buddha. We have a Chinese restaurant in our hometown. And at the front door, there's this big old fat Buddha. And I didn't know it. I honestly didn't do this on purpose, but I went over there and patted Buddha on the head and found out that that offended the Chinese. That was something that you did not do. And here I am patting old Buddha on the head, talking to him. And the lady was indignant. And, I didn't understand her because she was speaking Chinese. I didn't know what she was saying. But she was actually cussing me out for touching her Buddha. I mean, after all, she worshipped this Buddha. That was her God. I remember watching on PBS, you know, watching this documentary of people that would go up into the mountains and they'd take food to the statues of Buddha and leave it there. And come to find out, I don't know if this is common knowledge with them, but it became, through PBS, became common knowledge to me that Buddha didn't eat it. Well, what a surprise! He was a statue. He was just a fat guy sitting there that wasn't going to eat. And, you know, he had eyes, but he couldn't see. He had ears, he couldn't hear. He had a mouth that couldn't speak. And, you know, hands that couldn't do anything. It was those Buddhist monks that came by, thanks for the steak dinner. And they're the ones that ate it. But the fact of the matter is that all the other gods you can think of, in Hinduism, I think they've got over 30,000 gods that they worship. How they keep them straight, I don't know. But 30,000 gods they worship. And they're starving to death in India, but they have beefsteak walking down the road that they could easily eat and enjoy. But, oh no, not them. That could be my ancestor or somebody that, you know, whatever. And so they can't eat and enjoy the bounty that God has given them because they're worshiping some god out there. But I want to tell you something. We've got a God of gods.
Amen.
And we have the God that's like no other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And I want you to just divide this verse up just a little bit. Notice it says, none other name under heaven given among men. Given. Just think about that word, given. That's a gift. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's His unspeakable gift. Thanks to God for His unspeakable gift. The gift of His own Son, Jesus, who came and died on a cross for me. What a gift. I mean, I can't think of a gift that's greater than that. There's none other name under heaven given among men. And then among men, He was given for men. Now the word man there, or men, is a generic word which means human beings. Okay? It's not a sexist thing. And I guarantee you, the women haven't been left out. Everybody is opened up to the gospel. There's nobody left out. The gospel is for everyone. It doesn't make any difference if you're a man, a woman, a child, a boy, a girl. And by the way, it's still boys and girls, regardless of if they don't want you to call us, they want us to call you boys and girls. And you know what? I am glad that when I was 5 years old, somebody didn't ask me, what gender are you? I would have said, what? What do you mean, gender? I have no idea what you're talking about. Gender. But yet at 5 years old, they're supposed to be able to choose their own gender. How stupid is that? Boys and girls. When I was a kid, I was a boy. I'm still. My wife thinks I'm still a boy. And I am. I'm a man child. Amen. But the fact of the matter is that Jesus, what a name, He came for men. Came to die on a cross for human beings. He came for you and for me. I mean, there's nobody left out of that. So, you know, I feel sorry for the Calvinists, but they think that somebody has been left out. That God in eternity past chose some to be saved and some to be lost. And the fact of the matter is that my Bible, the way I read it, it's whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. Jesus Christ died on a cross and it was all sufficient. It was sufficient for all the sins of the world. It was sufficient that every person in the world could be saved. Does that mean all the people in the world are going to be saved? No, that's not what that means. There's people that have rejected the gospel message. I've sat with people and talked to them about Jesus and had them reject the message that was plain and clear from the Word of God. And they turned their back on it. Folks, there's going to be people that will reject and not believe. But, praise God, there are some who do believe.
Amen.
and trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. I sat with she was in her 80s, and I was told once that you can't win old people to Christ. I guarantee you, you can. I sat with a lady, and she was in her 80s, and I sat there on the couch, and I opened up the Word of God to her. She had been raised in a Presbyterian church. And she looked at me and says, I've never heard anything like this in my whole life. I showed her the gospel from the Word of God. And I remember the tears coming down her cheeks. And she got down on her knees right there at her own couch. Got down on her knees and she called out to Jesus and asked Jesus to save her.
Yeah.
I want to tell you that she got saved that night because she believed the gospel message. I remember baptizing her. Oh, you can't win old people? Well, don't stop trying.
Yeah. Amen.
You can reach them.
Amen.
Sometimes I think nowadays, in this day that we live in, it's easier to reach old people than it is to reach the young people, because the young people have been tainted by stupid doctrines that they get in school and other places. But the fact of the matter is that Jesus came. There's none other name under heaven given among men. So who are we preaching to? We're preaching to the squirrels, the whales, the fish. What are we? We're preaching to men. We preach so they can understand what the gospel is all about and how Jesus worked in our hearts. Just show them what Jesus did for you. And then notice it says, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must. Now that's that word. You know, you used it several times in Sunday school, imperative. That's an imperative. I mean, that pretty well explains. This has to be preached. Do you realize that out of all the messages you can preach from the Word of God, there's no more important message than the message of Jesus Christ? Matter of fact, my Bible, and I'm sure yours says the same thing, John chapter 5, verse 39. Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. You know who is talking? Jesus. You know what he's saying? He's saying from Genesis to Revelation, you're going to find me.
Yeah.
So if we're looking through the Word of God, we're trying to get history out of the Word of God, we're searching for the wrong thing. We need to be searching for Jesus. I remember reading a book some years ago, Jesus on Every Page. Jesus on Every Page. Yeah? If you look for him, he's on every page of Scripture. All you have to do is pray for the Holy Spirit to open your eyes. And there he is, Jesus, on every page. Now, it says here, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must, that's the imperative, preach the message, be saved. What is it? It's a message of salvation. This is the greatest part of it right here. You see, I remember when I was a boy, I was 8 years old, and I was sitting in a church service, and I was way back in the back. It was a good-sized auditorium, way back in the back. And I thought when I sat down, it was in August when this took place, hot. They didn't have air conditioning back in those days, and neither do you, apparently. So, but anyhow, way back there in the back, and I was so hot. And I was, oh, and you know what I was thinking about? I was thinking about going fishing. I was going down the creek as soon as I got home after eating fried chicken. We always had fried chicken on Sunday. After I ate my fried chicken, me and the dog were going down to do some fishing. Never caught anything because stupid dog always was swimming in the creek. But the fact of the matter is, I got away from everybody. I was just there with my dog. That's what I was thinking about. But you know what? That preacher, Pastor Harold Day, started preaching. And he was preaching on hell. The hottest day of the year, he had the nerve to get up there and preach on hell. And you know what? It got a hold of me. The Holy Spirit of God did. And I thought I was going to go to hell that day. Matter of fact, I thought the pew was going to get tipped and I was going to go right into the pit of hell. Now, I don't know too much about what, you know, happened during the trip from the back pew to the altar. I don't know. Somehow, I think I was transported. Beam me to the altar is what happened. And I got to the altar and I got down on my knees. And I remember that preacher putting his arm around me, asking me what I needed. And I said, well, I don't want to go to hell. He said, you need Jesus. And he introduced me to the Lord Jesus Christ that day as my Savior. I was saved. Salvation. That's what it was all about. He preached a message on hell, pointing me to Jesus. Listen, if we don't point people to Jesus, we've failed. We haven't done the job. Our purpose in life is to point people to Jesus so they can be saved and receive salvation. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Look, if you will, back here in the book of Philippians, the A. Philippians chapter 2. And you know all these things. This is not new to you. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him, that him is Jesus, a name which is above every name. The A, it's above. The name of Jesus is above every name. Think about all the great men, the biblical men. Think about Andrew. Andrew, you know, Peter would never have been saved if it hadn't been for his brother Andrew. And after Andrew met Jesus, what was the first thing he did? Oh, I've got to go talk to Peter. And he went and got Peter and brought him to Christ. It says he brought him to Christ. Andrew, one of the greatest apostles, but yet he's the one that we kind of leave out. We think of Peter, James, and John. We don't think of Andrew. But Andrew's the one that got it all started. Can you imagine such a thing? Oh, great man. Then, of course, Peter. I mean, Peter, the one that went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, he wanted to build a tabernacle for not only Jesus, but the other two guys that showed up too. He just wanted to, why? Because he didn't know what else to say. That's what the Bible says. He didn't know what else to say. Peter. Peter was a good guy, though. Peter was up there, and he got hungry. And so when you get hungry, what do? Well, you eat. Well, they didn't have McDonald's or anything like that back in those days. So while they were preparing, he decided he'd pray a little while. Well, all good Baptists go to sleep while they're praying. And he went to sleep and had this dream. And God showed him in a dream how, all these, abominable animals, they were good to eat. When you're hungry, anything's good to eat. If you're a good Jew, you stay away from pork, but a good pork hot dog sounds good right about now. Amen? But get with me. It's interactive a little bit. And he's shown that, everything's good if it's blessed by God. And so all of a sudden these two men come from a house by a guy named Cornelius. Cornelius happened to be a Gentile. You know what the Jews? The Jews didn't like Gentiles. The Gentiles didn't like Jews. So the good thing was that the Jews had their place and the Gentiles had their place. They kind of stayed separate from each other. But Cornelius was told by an angel to send two men to seek out Peter. So he sent these two men, and guess what? They found Peter. And they said, you've got to come with us. And Peter says, why? Because Cornelius needs to see you. But I don't go to Gentile homes. You better listen. Because God's in this. Amen. You know what? That conversation really wasn't in the Word of God. As soon as he heard these two men talking, he knew exactly what that vision he had meant. And he went with those two men to Cornelius' house. And by the way, Cornelius didn't waste any time. He's out there inviting people to come. He had his whole family there, and plus everybody in the neighborhood came. He had his house filled with people. Peter shows up and he starts his message by this. We Jews don't get along too good with you Gentiles, but I'm here because God sent me. And he just started preaching to them the gospel. And everybody in that house got saved. Peter's a good guy. Then, I want to tell you something. How would you like to preach a message and see 3,000 people get saved? Well, I'm waiting for the day. I'd like to do that. See 3,000 people walk the aisle. Not only did they walk the aisle and get saved that day, but they baptized them that day. Whoa! And they didn't just sprinkle them either. They took them down to the river and put them under. Folks, I want you to understand something. Peter was a good guy. And then you think Paul. Every place Paul went, he started a fight. They put him in prison. They couldn't keep him in prison. God had sent an earthquake along and his chains would fall off. Folks, want you to understand something. Every place he went, people got saved or got mad. One or the other. There's no two ways about it. They either got saved or got mad. Paul was a good guy. Barnabas was a guy. You know something? We don't talk too much about Barnabas. Matter of fact, after Paul and Barnabas got in their big row, they claimed that Barnabas wasn't heard from anymore. Well, I want to tell you something. If it hadn't been for Barnabas, we'd never had the book of Mark. You understand that? If it hadn't been for Barnabas, we'd never got the book of Mark. Why? Because Barnabas took a guy by the name of John Mark under his wing, which caused the whole row between him and Paul. And Barnabas went to Crete, and it was at Crete that he taught John Mark how to be a man of God. And it was because of that later on, even though Barnabas isn't mentioned by name, Paul says, send John Mark. He's profitable to me. John Mark became profitable because there was a man by the name of Barnabas. Boy, I tell you what, some good guys there in the Bible, aren't there? Then jump ahead a little bit to a guy by the name of William Tyndale. You know something? Although he doesn't get credit for it, probably 90% of this book we call the King James Bible was translated by William Tyndale. William Tyndale gave his life for this book. Was martyred because of the Word of God. Great guy. And I think of Charles Spurgeon. I guarantee you, if you Google Spurgeon, first person that'll come up will be Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon was a great man of God. Preached to 10,000 people every service. Think about it. And then you got John Hyde, you've got D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday. You've got all these great people that have lived. But there's a name that stands above all those names. And that name is the name of Jesus. No matter how great D.L. Moody was, he can't compare with Jesus. Notice what it says here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Look at verse 10 very closely. It's not at the presence of Jesus. Jesus doesn't walk in and every knee bows. It's at the name of Jesus. Can you imagine there's an angel that calls out, Jesus! And the multitudes of people in heaven fall to their knees. It wasn't because they saw Jesus. It was because they heard His name. And they bowed to Jesus. See, in this old world that we live in, we can hear people use the name of Jesus as a cuss word. But in glory, it'll cause you to bow a knee. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Boy, I want to tell you something. It'll be different in glory one day. They won't be using the name of Jesus in vain. It's above every name. Then, if you will, look over here in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews. Notice what it says here in Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Notice what it says down here. Let's read a few verses. It says, and we'll start reading here in verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, think about this, in these last days, talking about, you know, around 60 AD is when this was written, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made, verse 4, so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. A more excellent, more excellent name. You know, he has a more excellent name than the angels. You know, there's not too many angels that are named in the Bible. Matter of fact, there's two that come to mind. That's Michael and Gabriel. Those are the two angels that are named. Now think about this. Michael was an angel that fought against Satan. And he was a battle angel. He was a war angel. He was a great archangel. And by the way, he was a great angel, still a great angel. And you hear a lot of people talk about, you know, entertaining angels and getting all excited about it. And I would too, but I want to tell you something, they're still angels. And then Gabriel. Gabriel's the one that introduced or announced the birth of John the Baptist, also announced the birth of Jesus Christ. And when he was talking to John the Baptist's father, he says, "I stand in the presence of God." Can you imagine there, in the presence of God, an angel? What a glorious thing, these angels. And I can imagine, you know, the awesomeness of meeting an angel. Sometimes I think I did, but I won't tell you the story because it's a long one. But we met a fellow that helped us get a house and all these different things when we went to Bible school. And we didn't know what we were doing, didn't know where we were going, didn't understand anything about the city. And this guy just shows up and directs us and helps us and then just disappears. So I have a feeling that God sent an angel to help us at that point. But the fact of the matter is, all these angels, you know, and you hear of television programs that, you know, glorify angels. But I think if the angels were asked, "Do you want to be glorified?" they'd say no. Because there's a name that's more excellent. And that's the name of Jesus. He's more excellent. He's greater far than all the angels. Matter of fact, it says he's better than the angels. I don't know about you, but that excites me. I don't worship angels. I worship Jesus. Amen. Then, notice the E. Look back here in Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Somebody said, "Boy, he's getting close to being done." Don't count. Isaiah chapter 9. Notice what it says in verse 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." You ever notice it? And his name, that's singular. "And his name shall be called," then, "it, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." The Everlasting Father. What a name. Everlasting Father. That's eternal. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 says of Jesus, he's the same yesterday and today and forever. You know what that forever means? He's everlasting. He's called the Ancient of Days. You know, when John meets Jesus on the Isle of Patmos, he sees this glorious being. And John says he was like the Son of Man, but he was more glorious than the way John remembers him when he walked here on earth. And he had hair that was white like wool. Folks, I want you to understand something. This was the Everlasting Father. He's everlasting. He's eternal. We worship Jesus. But most of us, when we think of Jesus, we think of a picture that we saw of Jesus someplace with this long flowing hair. And we think of Jesus in a very different way than when we see Jesus. Matter of fact, look if you will over here. I want to show you something real quick, and then we're almost done. Look in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I love this passage of Scripture here. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 talks about being a son of God. And then verse 2 it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Now we became the sons of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's only one way to become a son of God, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. It says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be." You know, you can look at these pictures of Jesus with the long flowing hair, and you can see him knocking on a door, or you can look up at the pictures of Jesus that somebody has painted of him on a cross. And we get this idea in our head that this is the way Jesus looks. Or we can watch a movie and we see some man playing Jesus. And we get this picture in our head, and somehow that's how we picture Jesus. But I'm going to tell you something. We don't know what he looks like. Matter of fact, in Isaiah chapter 53, it says there's no beauty that we should desire him. In other words, I don't think that Jesus was an ugly person, per se, but I do think that Jesus looked like an ordinary Jewish man. And by the way, he was a Jew. Don't forget that. He was a Jewish man. He grew up as a Jew. You know, we forget that. And by the way, we forget that this book right here that we have in our hands, thanks to the Jews, we have it today. If it wasn't for the Jews, we wouldn't have the Word of God.
Right.
And if it weren't for the apostles who were Jews going out and preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, we'd be lost in our sin today. Praise God for the nation of Israel. And we should stand with the nation of Israel.
Amen.
And all those preachers out there that say that God is done with Israel, they don't know what they're talking about. They've never studied their own Bible. Jesus was a Jew. But there's no beauty. He looked like a Jewish man. He didn't have a halo, a glow. But when John saw him on the Isle of Patmos, he did. As the brightness of the sun. But you know what? We don't know what he looks like. We only have these pictures in our mind of things that we've seen. And it says, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. Well, that's one thing I like about John when he writes. He says, we can know this. Underline that word, know. This is knowledge you can have right now. We know that when he shall appear, and by the way, he will appear. It says it doesn't. If he appears, it doesn't say that. It says, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. One of these days we're going to see Jesus. As we're caught up to meet him in the air, we'll see him. And when we see him, we'll be like him. We won't be God. Don't get that idea. But we'll have bodies fashioned like his body. And folks, I want you to understand something. When we see him, we're going to be standing in awe of the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ that can't be seen in a picture that was painted by some artiste down here. But we will see him in all his beauty one day. And we'll see him as the everlasting Father. And I have a feeling the description that we see in Revelation chapter 1 that John saw will be what we see when we go up to meet him in the air. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Do you know Jesus? Jesus standing in the midst. He says, come unto me, All you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Let's stand very quietly. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our precious Lord and Savior, we love you. Thank you for that precious name. Dear God, I pray that you'd work in hearts right now. Lord, I pray for Christians just to worship Jesus. Pray for Christians to be drawn closer to Jesus. I pray for the lost to come to Jesus for salvation. Please do your work right now, we ask. Have your will and way. Take control, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher.
You have a song. Welcome up to 98. Let's sing that song, and as we do, if you're here today and you don't know him, if you're here today and you don't have that 1 John, know that you're born again, that you're saved. Boy, I encourage you to come here at the altar. Let someone show you from God's Word how you today can know for sure that you're saved. This is a different song here. Let's sing that one anyway. The name of Jesus is so sweet. 98. Third invitation again, you deal with what God's tugged on your heart about. The name of Jesus is so sweet. I love its music to repeat. It makes my joy full and complete. The precious name of Jesus. Jesus, oh how sweet the name. Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, let all saints proclaim. It's worthy praise forever. I love the name of him whose heart